Well, good evening. We are going to be talking a little bit tonight, I thought, about being stabilized, how to be established. Now, they're not the exact same word, but they're the same concept. We'll start off and in Romans, at the beginning of Romans, pretty much, verse 11, and it'll be largely out of Romans, taken from Romans. How to be stabilized. Let's start with Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now in Romans 1, 11 and 12 that we just read, Paul was writing this in order to establish Bible believers so that he may be comforted by their mutual faith. I say Bible believers because you have to believe the Bible in order to be saved. You have to believe that Christ died for your sins. What it says in the Bible there. He wanted to be comforted by their mutual faith. Mutual is a key word there. He wanted to be comforted by their coming into a mutual faith because those scripture believers didn't yet have a mutual faith. They were unaware of what Paul was ready to write to them, thus the need for Paul to write the epistle to the Romans. To all that be in Rome, he says in verse 7, Romans 1, verses 11 and 12 tell them what Paul was going to say. He's going to tell them about a mutual faith that they could have. Now, let's go to the end of the epistle and look at how Paul ended up summarizing what he told them, what he had told them during the content of the epistle to the Romans. He starts off in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26, which actually is a summary of what he told them, and we'll use it as a outline or guide to what he's saying as we go along. But he starts off with the words, now to him. Now to him. I'm trying to think what that phrase means, but it reads, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Verse 25, when he says, to him that is of power to establish you, what does now to him mean? Does it mean now this epistle is to him? Or does it mean now I'm turning my focus to him? Or does it mean something else? What does it mean? What Paul is actually saying is revealed in the context by reading verse 27, Romans 16:27, to God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. To God be glory through Jesus Christ. But when you go back a couple verses, Paul got started, but before he says, to him be glory, he describes him, Jesus Christ, and his power. Paul could have meant the same thing by saying, now glory to him that is of power to establish you. So he's closing out the epistle. This is Romans 16, and he's praying about them, and he said, Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to, and then he goes on to list for them the things that will establish Bible believers. If they believe the Bible and put it into action, what he's saying here, they will be established or stabilized. So these are going to be a list of things that will establish Bible believers, scripture believers, those who believe the Holy Bible, and we're going to study it now and see what it is. He goes on and he says, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. That's the starting point. That's the first thing. Well, you got to start by believing the scriptures. But in the scriptures, when you read about my gospel, Paul claiming it's his gospel because the Lord delivered it to him. He didn't get it from man. It wasn't around. It wasn't available from Peter or the 12 or anybody else. It was delivered to Paul by Jesus Christ from heaven. That's the first stabilizer, the first establisher, my gospel. These are things that Paul had talked about regarding my gospel in the epistle to the Romans in chapters 1 through 5. That was all about my gospel, almost all. There was a few introductory words and things like that. But he's talking about my gospel, basically, during those first five chapters. Look at some of these verses. We'll go through, and you can see directly from the scripture what he's talking about, my gospel. Start in Romans 3:19. Excuse me just a moment. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Romans 3:26, to declare, he just mentioned the sins of the past centuries. to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So that was it wasn't hard for the Lord, but for us to figure out how a just God could be fair and still justify sinners, sinful people. But that's what verse 26 is about. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Law there is, it's like the law of gravity. It's an operating system, a way things work. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Verse 28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay? Without the deeds of the law. If you're thinking there's something you can do that'll get you more right with God, you're barking up the wrong. It's not going to work. The only thing that justifies us is Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for every one of our sins, his blood sacrifice. Going on, Romans 4 now. Romans 4:21 we'll start at. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised He was able also to perform, and therefore it, that's what Abram believed, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I should have started with that. That Abraham believed and was fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, God was able also to perform. And therefore, because he was fully persuaded that he could, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if, here's the condition, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, for us, throughout there. That's love, you know, that he self-sacrificially does beneficial things for us. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory, the glory of God. Look at a couple more verses down a little bit there, verses 10 and 11 in Romans 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I don't have anything in my notes about this, but I do. I don't want to pass it up. Look at the end of verse 10. We, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That future tense is the only thing that you get when you read Israel's promises, Israel's future, Israel's salvation. It's always shall be saved, or they get remission instead of forgiveness. Remission being a future salvation, or future handling of the punishment for their sins. In the future, it's handled when Christ comes back. Acts 3:19 and 20. But the difference is, this is one of the, I think, just two places that I know of in the whole Scripture that it, the body of Christ is, it talks about the future salvation. Well, we do have a future salvation when we're caught up to be with the Lord. But the rest of the time, the body of Christ is declared to be saved now, right now. Ephesians 2:5 is a good example of that. We'll pull that up. Excuse me just a moment here. Okay. 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So that's past tense. By grace you are saved. That's present tense. You're not waiting to be saved like Israel. So there's a big difference there. The body of Christ is not Israel. Israel is not the body of Christ. They're different. Different time markers and different destination. We don't go to the land, Israel's land, the promised land, promised to Israel. We go to heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. Okay, next, after my gospel establishing us, those that have been established or starting to be established by my gospel, those that have been saved, after that we see the first connective word, a conjunction, the word and. So there's something else coming up. It's not my gospel. We've either believed my gospel or not, but we're going on to the second one. if you don't believe it, the second one won't relate to you. It's for those that have been saved, in other words, that have gone through that first step of establishment. Then here's the second thing in this series of three things, actually, that establish people that believe what the Word of God says, Bible believers who have now believed the first establisher, Paul's gospel of Christ. The second establisher is, we're going to see it here in Romans 16, we'll read 25 and the first five words of 26 to complete the thought. The preaching of Jesus Christ, this is what establishes those that are saved. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to, and here's the important part, the difference actually, it's not according to prophecy, not according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's according to the revelation of the mystery, or the revealed secret, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. It's known. It's not hidden anymore like it is in most, you know, you turn on any Sunday service on the TV or on the radio or any church you may go to, you're probably going to hear things that indicate they don't know what the mystery of Christ is, what the body of Christ is, what salvation is. Often they don't understand because they don't rightly divide Paul's writings from the rest of the scriptures, mainly to Israel. They don't. There is now a specific rightly dividing that is rightly dividing the word of truth. But there's also rightly dividing these sections. We don't want to wrongly divide them either. I'm not going against the scripture there in 2 Timothy 2:15. I believe we should rightly divide the word of truth. But I believe we should not wrongly divide the rest of the Bible either. So, that's the mystery there. And it was given unto Paul to reveal that mystery to us. And we need to study it. It's in there. We'll find it when you read it. He was to reveal it to us who believe the Bible and believe Paul's gospel. It was given unto Paul to preach Jesus Christ. Not according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not according to Israel's gospel, or to Jesus' first coming into Bethlehem, and then Galilee and Nazareth as he traveled and went around. It was given to Paul to preach Jesus not according to prophecy, but according to mystery, according to the revelation, the revealing, making it known to us of the mystery, but to preach Christ, as it says in the verse there, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret until the time of Paul. Since the world began, it was kept secret, but now it's made manifest. You can only see the mystery preached by Paul by rightly dividing it out from Israel's scriptures and from the rest of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, he walked the earth, yet now henceforth know we him no more. That's not the way we know him anymore. And there's a new pattern out there created by God. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. When Jesus Christ came the first time, he was sent as a minister of the circumcision. That's Romans 15:8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. That's all past tense by the time Paul's writing this. He says Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That would be unto Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to the 12 tribes, too, the sons of Jacob. Those promises he came to confirm. So, but now, Christ sent Paul at this time, extended to where we are now even, to preach Jesus Christ, not according to prophecy, but according to the secret, this mystery which was not made known when Jesus was still on the earth. It was not made known until after Christ ascended back to heaven and after the acceptable year of the Lord. But now it has been known, made known, as Paul reveals at the beginning of Romans 16:26, but has now been made manifest. What's the wording? 26. But now is made manifest. Yeah. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Well, that's the second establisher. Understanding and studying that difference, that division, that rightly dividing it. But there's a second and that comes along there, a second connecting word that connects the first two with this third establisher. And it's this and is followed by the third thing, which establishes those Romans that Paul is writing to and us, too, who have believed the Bible and Paul's gospel of salvation and the revealed secret of Jesus Christ. That third establisher is by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. That third means of establishing us is the same as what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 16. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul was talking about Timothy learning the scriptures that had been inspired of God before Paul was saved. The Old Testament scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that salvation through faith was not in the Old Testament, through faith alone. It always required faith, but not through faith alone. But it's not saying that, is it? It's saying, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Not able to make thee saved. It's able to make thee wise so that when you hear the gospel of salvation, you can have faith in it. You can believe that Christ died for your sins. It's through faith, though, and the through faith part is what Paul was teaching. That it, you know, that what counts is what their faith was in. Just like us, what our faith is in. We can't just believe there is a God. I believe God. Believe that He's true. I don't know what He says, but I know He's true. No, that's not... That's not the content of the gospel, okay? The Bible believer's faith is to be faith in the content of the gospel of Christ. Faith in Christ, Christ Himself, that He died for our sins, was buried and resurrected. Now, you know, if you've had a religious background, you probably had that drilled into you, or you may not have, but even if you have, you listen and you hear of Christ died for his sins. Yeah, that's what happened 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. And we look at a crucifix or whatever and we know that he died for the sins of the world. That's not it. It's transferring your dealing with your guilt and your need for salvation, transferring that from your trying to do better And or from anything else that you're trusting in, whether it be like the earlier lesson mentioned, stoicism, any of these things, transferring it to Jesus Christ himself, who died already for all your sins that you'll ever commit. So faith is to be faith in Christ, that he died for our sins, having faith that the Godhead would raise him from the dead according to the promise of life in 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. What do the scriptures of the prophets tell us? Well, when we look in Romans, the first two verses actually tell us something about it. In the first four verses, look at verses 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the gospel of God is a label that God puts on a certain gospel here in the scripture. And he promised it before by his prophets. So it's in the Holy Scriptures. The prophets prophesied whatever the gospel of God is. And we know the prophets didn't prophesy the mystery, or it wouldn't have still been a mystery. The scriptures of these prophets tell saved right dividers about the facts of the gospel of God. The gospel of God applies to people today, too. They must believe. When you hear what they are, you'll realize that people have to believe that for it to mean anything when they believe the gospel of salvation. Those gospel of God facts are listed in verses 3 and 4, the next two verses. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's the Son of God. That's one thing, and it's reemphasized later. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, and they're calling Jesus the Messiah. That's Christ is the word for Messiah. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the first two right in the first sentence there. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And again, that's that seed of David, that's the messianic line. The Messiah had to come through that line. And Jesus did. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. There, you know, if you missed it the first time, it's even more emphatic there. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by, how is he declared to be the Son of God? By the resurrection from the dead. That's the third element of the gospel of God. That he's the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Now, it doesn't say believe that and you're saved, does it? But those are the facts about who Jesus is. It's the good news, so it's a gospel. It's called a gospel in the scripture. The scriptures of the prophets are the third means of establishing saved right dividers. For that reason, we study not only Paul's epistles, but also the scriptures of the prophets. From Acts chapter 9 through Acts chapter 19, Paul started with the gospel of God. When he would visit a town, go to the synagogue, he would start with the gospel of God. It would be from the scriptures of the prophets, from the scriptures that were kept in the synagogues. He would read from their own scriptures the three things that declared Jesus to be the Son of God, to be the Messiah that they had crucified. Before introducing Jews and Greek covenant believers to the new gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, he would teach this gospel of God. And you can see that division there in Thessalonica in Acts 17, in Corinth in Acts 18, And in Ephesus, I'm trying to think where that is now. I think it's late in 18 or early in 19, or later in 19. It's in that area. That's where they went to Tyrannus Hall, rented the hall, and those that believed the gospel of God went with Paul to the meetings where he would teach them the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. So when we sum this up, we see that in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26, Paul said that the three things that establish a believer, a Bible believer, someone that accepts what the Bible says, that bring a Bible believer to being established, the three things are firstly, my gospel, that's in Romans 16, 25, and secondly, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and thirdly, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And this, Paul knew he was going to be sent soon to all nations. This was after the temple vision. This was in Romans, written in Acts chapter 20, verse 3. And he had his temple vision in Acts 18, verse 22. So he'd already been told that he's going to all nations. That's not a new... he's not going yet. He's telling that it's for the obedience of faith. And by applying the summary outline that we just read, we see that my gospel is taught by Paul in Romans 1:1 through Romans 5:11. And after the my gospel establisher, we see, starting in Romans 5, verse 12, you begin to see the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. You see Paul teaching about the body of Christ, the new creature, the new man, the power of God in us. You see him talking about how we are dead to sin, freed from sin, how we're dead to the law, that since we're dead to the law, we should reckon ourselves to be so, instead of falling back into inviting that same pattern of sin. Look at some of the verses that declare our position. Romans 6:2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's a poor choice, to live in sin when you're dead to sin already and Christ has made it clear to you. Romans 6, verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Galatians 2:19, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon ye yourselves, let me read it right, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that goes back to the whole thing of being crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. We die, you know, when we're saved, we're baptized into the body of Christ. When we're baptized into the body of Christ, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 say we're baptized into his death. That's the crucified with him. And then, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We have victory if we take it. Because we're dead to sin, we should also reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. Don't let Satan fool you. He tells us that we believers are, Paul tells us, we believers are not under the law. All of these are the things that are involved with the mystery. I don't think that he uses the term mystery in explaining it in Romans 6, 7 and 8. But those are the chapters that handle the functioning of the new creature. And then we go on to the second conjunction, and in Romans 16:25, we'll start after the first five words that went with the second stablisher, by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. So the prophets had prophesied for Israel and Israel's future. And here Paul is handling those prophecies and why we can, in this section, after the second part, it's after Romans 8, so we're talking about Romans 9, 10, and 11. Paul is handling those prophecies of the scriptures and why we can no longer be saved by believing what Israel was told to believe, including the covenants, the commandments, and their at-hand future kingdom. That was the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom was at hand. All they had to do was, you know, receive it. So Paul goes on to tell what happened to Israel. That's Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. He says that these things establish you. So what he is doing is preparing these people, the Romans, and us, and then the rest of the epistle, Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, largely he teaches them what this established life is and what it produces. In other words, the way to live as an established believer and what an established believer looks like, what his life looks like, his actions. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means, well, I like that that motto, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And that, there's truth in that. We don't claim that we never fall back into the flesh, but we have motivation and power of the Holy Ghost, to choose to walk in the Spirit. So let's all follow this curriculum for establishing, including salvation and growth, revealed and used by our apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, in the inspired Holy King James Bible. Let's close with that last verse, Romans 16:27, that we started with. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Okay, any comments, questions, additions, whatever?